I'm glad everybody's here. I'm the youth pastor here at Carlers Creek. My name is Nathan Black. And if you're a visitor again, I want to welcome you here. So, and before we get started, I want to go to the Lord in prayer. But again, like that song that we just sang, it said, turn your eyes to Jesus. And I love that phrase. And I think that is going to be the prayer for today. And as I preach, that is my prayer for us today, is that we can turn our eyes to the Savior Jesus, okay? So let us pray this morning. Dear God, I thank you. God, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. God, I pray that we can turn our eyes to the one who loved us the most. God, and his name is Jesus, that he came to die for us, to give us new life. And I pray that by the end of the sermon, God, that we can just reflect and realize how great you are and believe how great you are, God. And I pray today that you help remind me that it is not about me in the pulpit, God, but it's all about you and your glory and what your son came to do for us, God. And I pray that you give me the words to say. Sometimes remind me, God, to slow down because my words get caught up and I fumble, God. And I pray that you'll give me good speech right now just to help bring your word to these people. In your son's name I pray, amen. So if you have your Bible, if you can, turn to Matthew chapter 13. Jason has been going through the book of Matthew, and we're going to keep rolling through there. So if you can, grab a Bible, Matthew 13:47. Matthew 13:47. And that's where we're going to be starting out. And if you do not have a Bible, I believe there are some wonderful ones right there in the pew. So if you can, look along in those. And I know cell phones have Bible apps and all that, but I see someone up front having used a cell phone, so love you, Stephen. So, and I think I don't hear any more pages turned, so we're going to go ahead and get started. But, again, turn your eyes upon Jesus today, all right? That is our prayer. So, it said, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as the old. And before we go any farther to the next passage, we're just going to pause and dive into this one right here. So, Jason has been preaching, right? And there's a word. Does anybody have any headings above their passage? Does anybody have any headings? What is it? The parable of the what? The net, right? So someone tell me, because I'm used to engaging teenagers. What is a parable? Does anybody know what a parable is? Ben, I see Ben. He's the only one that knows what it is. All right, so I don't want to assume anything because, again, some people might not be like me. I grew up in the church since I was 9 months before I was born. So I've been in the church a long time. So, and I'm 27 years old, so I've been in church a little while, but I don't want to assume anybody, this might be your first time stepping into church today. And I don't want to assume anything, but a parable is a way that Jesus spoke and preached to the people in his audience. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly, everyday way of life that has a spiritual meaning behind it. And that's what a parable is, and it's the parable of the net. That's what mine says. So, also, one key phrase is the kingdom of heaven, right? Do y'all see that phrase at the very beginning there? It says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a what? A net, right? Like a net. Supposedly, I was looking up on the internet. Supposedly, the kingdom of heaven is mentioned like 20-plus times in the book of Matthew alone. And the kingdom of God is mentioned in Luke and the other gospels, and is mentioned just as much. So let me ask you this. If a teacher, we got some teachers right here, don't we? Right? Teachers, right? From Mineral Springs, and we got other teachers. So teachers, let me ask you this. If you are in your classroom and you say something multiple times, do you think the students need to know what you're talking about? Yes, right. So think about it. If a teacher is mentioning some material multiple times, do you think that material might be on the test for the week or for that section, right? Everybody following me? That if a teacher is talking about a certain material over and over again, there's a reason why that teacher is going over that. It is very important. So let me ask you this. If Jesus is mentioned in the book of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven, 20 plus times, do you think it's important to know and to stay focused on what he's trying to describe? Right. And supposedly around 6 or 7 times the word gnashing or weeping and gnashing of teeth comes up. Another pretty big phrase that's mentioned a lot in the book of Matthew as well. So these two phrases are mentioned often. So I want us to stay focused because there is a reason why Matthew has it written multiple times throughout his gospel about the kingdom of heaven. Because he wants, as he's writing it from the life of Christ, Jesus wants his audience to understand how important the kingdom of heaven is. So church, I ask you today, please stay focused because this is talking about eternity. It is talking about eternity. And I beg you, I plead with you that you stay focused because what Jesus is saying about the kingdom of heaven is not just about here and now, here on earth, but it's about the afterlife. So whatever you do, please stay focused because one of the things, as I was driving to Winter Jam, planning to stand in rain for multiple hours to hear some Christian bands, Travis's mom, Teresa, looks over at me and she says, "Nathan, can't we stand in the rain just for a few hours to hear Christian bands? But yes, some of us are willing to do whatever it takes to watch a football game." I don't know about those people in Wisconsin and Michigan and all those places up there, like negative 10 degrees, and they're decked out, and some of them don't even have shirts on, and they're wearing their team jersey name. I mean, like, you think about it, how crazy some people are and willing to go to pull for a team that might not be even in the Super Bowl at the end, such as the Redskins or something, you know? So, love you, Jason. So, this might be the last time he might allow me in the pulpit. So, I know... This might be the last time he might ask me to do that, so be up here. We're also talking about love and forgiveness today, so Jason, please forgive me. So, but think about it, guys. Some people in this room might have fantasy football. Anybody ever heard of that? So I might step on toes a little bit. You got to know, I see some hands raised. So some people, fantasy football, if you want to do really good at fantasy football, you got to know stats. You got to know how good a player is. And I mean, you are willing to stay up. And I mean, people get really crazy and they even do money and gambling and all that. So people are willing to go so far to know statistics on football players. And yet, guys, going back to my thing, that the kingdom of heaven, talking about eternity here, that is mentioned so many times in the book of Matthew and the other gospels, that I want us... and begging you to stay focused. Because my heart, I can easily do whatever it takes to at 4 o'clock in the morning go get in a tree stand in 20 degree weather and sit there and not see anything the whole day. And yet I can come out and be happy. But yet, for some reason, when I start getting ready at 9:30 or 8:30 on a Sunday morning, it seems like I don't want to get out of bed. Like I'm tired, I'm drained, it's been a long week, and now I come to church, you know, sometimes I just want to sleep. Sometimes I just want to rest because all the stuff that's happened throughout the week, I just can't stay focused. But guys, I'm begging you today, please, whatever it takes. If you want to stand up in the middle of service so you can stay awake, please do. Because this is important today. Or you can throw stuff on the ground. So keep everybody else awake. So today we're talking about, I will say this, besides the Redskins and stuff, I got to say, Jason, he allowed me to come up here and preach, and probably the reason is because we're talking about fishing today. I brought some props with me today, and I'm very thankful that I got a man in here that likes to fish too, Don O'Neill. And I know we got some other fishermen, so maybe, hopefully I don't trip or... Oh, I noticed it's not rusted like in November, so make sure I don't hit anything else. All right, so today we are talking about some fishermen, and I'll get to this in a second. So I'll start with the basics. So today we have some fishermen, right? They cast down a net, and they can catch all species of fish. So let me ask you this. I don't know if anybody in the back can see. Can anybody see Damon? I know you like to fish back there. Damon, you see? Can you see what type of lure that is? What type of lure is that? A frog, right? So what about this? Do we have any non-fishermen in here or women? Anybody else don't know? Fisher women? What? So, all right. So I hear some giggling. And I see some. All right. So anyway. So can anybody tell me that doesn't like to fish? I don't know why you're laughing because I hadn't caught up with what I said yet. So I'm just going to keep going. So does anybody know that doesn't fish what this lure might be used for? That doesn't know how to fish. I heard someone say something. Catches the fish, right? So let me ask you this. All right, so if I toss this, not going to hit anybody, and I'm reeling it, I'm popping it like a frog, does a frog like to swim in the bottom or the top? At the top, right? He glides on top of the water. All right, so just real quick, that demonstration, I don't know, but a frog is used for top water. Normally people like to use this for bass fishing. Everybody know what a bass is? Largemouth bass. So the hooks are weedless and everything, and normally you skip it across the top of the water. And that's what you do. And normally, when you use this kind of lure, normally you're fishing for one kind of fish, a bass. Even though some other fish might bite, but that's about the one main species of fish that you're trying to catch with this kind of lure. There's another lure called a cinco. It's just a plastic worm. Kind of looks like an earthworm. And you're normally fishing for bass, or other species might eat it as well. And that's my other go-to. But this is normally catching, your purpose is trying to catch one species of fish with this lure. So Mr. Don, I'm not going to throw this one out. I think you know better for me to do that. But I want to see if I can get the technique at least down. First of all, you got to watch your foot, right, Don? When you pick, you gotta know where this bad boy is. If not, you're going in the water with it. Spread it out like that, and you chunk this booger, and guess what happens? It's supposed to spread out, and then you catch. Don, how many species of fish might end up in here?
Whatever's down there,
right? So anything from the top of the water where the fish are to the bottom, correct? So, and where I'm going with this demonstration is, when you use one kind of lure, such as that, you're only trying to catch one species. When using something like that spreads out, you're catching multiple species of fish. And in this passage, it talks about these fishermen throw out the net and they catch multiple species of fish. So let me just remind y'all to kind of paint the picture. There's a wonderful passage in the book of Revelation that says all kinds of people will be singing praises for God for eternity. All species. Right now I'm looking at a majority of white people in this room. But let me tell you, one day in heaven for eternity, it will be all kinds of people singing glory to God. And I'm very thankful for that. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, it says make disciples of all nations. So I want us in this room to be reminded that I'm very thankful I have a God that doesn't just catch one species of fish, but he catches all species because that is how great his love is. He doesn't want just one group of people being in eternity, but all types. But then the problem becomes, Don, you ever heard of a trash fish? Anybody ever heard of a trash fish? What do you normally do with a trash fish if you catch one? Throw it away, right? They're no good. The sad thing is there are trash fish in this net that these fishermen that they catch. There are the righteous fish and there are the wicked fish. The wicked fish are separated out from the righteous. Because of their lifestyle that they lived, because they were so focused on themselves, because they were caught up in their sin, and they did not desire to follow God, they are thrown away. But then there's the righteous fish that end up going with the fishermen. They're placed in the basket and they get to go. But guys, for a moment, what happens to the wicked fish? They are placed in a blazing furnace where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I do not like to use scare tactics at all, but I want to warn you today, if you are living that lifestyle that is of wickedness and sinfulness and all about yourself, there are consequences for that lifestyle. And I tell you this out of love, because there is a better way out, and His name is Christ. The righteous fish get to go with the fishermen because they decided that God's grace, that His love and His purpose and His desire to come down and lay His life before us is so much more worth it than the sinfulness and the sorrow that brings with the life of sin. So today I want to ask you, it's kind of a weird question, what kind of fish are you today? That is a super weird question, but I want you, it is real for us today in the language that He is using. Are you of righteousness with God? Are you of wickedness and sin placed in a blazing furnace? That phrase, weeping and gnashing of teeth, I've never been in such pain where I've had to grind my teeth together because I'm in such hurtfulness and agony. But I want you to think about that. If you've ever been in such pain where you are gritting your teeth so bad and wincing because it is hurting and you'd just rather for someone knock you out and be done with it. And weeping, think about that. You are crying so hard that tears are flowing because you're so depressed and so sad about a situation. That is what it's like in hell. And then even that, you're in a confined space called a blazing furnace where there is fire. And I will tell you this, from reading this passage, I don't want to be in fire. I don't want to be there. And my hope for you today is I don't want y'all to be there either. There is another way out, and His name is Jesus. And I want y'all to think about that today. What kind of fish are you today? Are you one living in righteousness, glorifying God, because you have been saved, that you've been redeemed, you have been made new? Or are you living a lifestyle that has nothing to do with God and doing your own thing, and you seem to be trying to find answers in other different places, you're trying to find happiness in other different places, but then you're left with an empty hole in your heart, just wondering, like, what am I supposed to do in life? I will tell you, His name is Jesus. What kind of fish are you? Let's keep going. Verse 52. He said to him, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like an owner of a house who brings out his storeroom, new treasure as well as the old." Can anybody remind me today, what was the word that Jason said about this year's church word, you could say? What was it? Disciple. This is a word that happens a few times in the Bible, you know, quite a bit. I would say it's a very important word. Again, right here at the very beginning of that, it says, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven." So there's that phrase again, kingdom of heaven. So again, importance. But then there's the word that just jumps out to me. It is disciple. So guys, I want you to think, what is a disciple? I'd rather use this word than a Christian. I'd rather use this word than a Christian. And the reason why is because Christian is just so blasé with things. It's just surface level. Sometimes people are claiming it, and yet they hadn't talked about Jesus in a long time. It doesn't seem like they follow Jesus. So it's just a Southern cultural thing. Hey, mom and dad go to church, I must be a Christian. They claim to be a Christian, I must be one. But I want to tell you, If you are a disciple, there's no doubts about it. There's no doubts about it. And the question for us today, I just want us to pause and what is a disciple? Because if that, there is a reason why I would say God put on Jason's heart for that word to be Cartlidge Creek's word for the year, is disciple. So what is a disciple? It's someone that surrenders their life to God. Think about this. How many things in life do we surrender to? Think about this. What are your hobbies? What are you willing to drop a dime for to go do? I'm willing to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go sit in a tree stand. I'm willing to do that in a heartbeat. I'm willing to take one of these fishing poles, get in a kayak, and go somewhere in a heartbeat. And a lot of us, if you like to do hobbies, you're willing to drive, I don't care how far, and you're willing to do it. Drive to a football game, basketball game. We are willing to surrender to these things in a heartbeat. But how many of us in this room do we surrender to God on a daily basis? That we rather do our own thing versus God's. How many of us in this room surrender to God's will? Maybe even the more basic question is, what is God's will? What does it mean to surrender to God's will? You're denying yourself on a day-to-day basis because your will is not greater than His. His will is so much greater than yours. You're on a day-to-day basis surrendering. On top of that, what is a disciple? It's someone that follows Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? That means you're wanting to serve Him by loving other people and loving God. That means you're saying, hey, if I have 20 minutes this morning, I'm wanting to dig into His Word and connect with God. That I'm willing to get up a few minutes earlier to get to know who God is in Scripture. I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to follow Him. So how many of us this past week have said, I want to get up just a few minutes earlier to dig into Scripture to get to know my Savior better? How many of us done that? Yet, again, I question you. I'm willing to buy whatever lures I need to do to catch fish. I'm willing to go to Bass Pro and all these different places. Willing to surf internet probably forever, it seems like, and look at different lures, reviews. I'm willing to look up all the statistics and YouTube videos. But yet, for 20 minutes before I go to work, I can't even spend time with God. What's wrong? Where's my heart at? Where's your heart at? What is a disciple? It's someone that is willing to dedicate their life to Christ and follow Him on a day-to-day basis. This also means you realize there are things in your life that are holding you back from a stronger relationship with Him. That there is sin creeping into your life that you have to battle with on a day-to-day basis. If not, it's going to take you down. And you have to call on God's name to say, God, I need your help today. I need your help because if not, this sin is going to drag me down and it's going to hurt me and take me down a dark road I do not want to go down. God, I need your help. I got to put your armor on to fight. And the last thing of what a disciple is someone that says, God so loved me that He gave Himself for me. I got to share that with other people. I can't just keep Jesus bottled up in my life, keep His love bottled up, but I have to share it with whoever and whenever the time comes. And I got to train up other people in the name of Christ. Church, when is the last time you shared your faith with someone? For some of y'all are going to Boston and Calgary. I hope y'all don't share your faith until that week. I challenge you, if you're planning to go on those mission trips, be training to share your faith before then. Teenagers, if you're planning to go to Shelby on the summer mission trip, be sharing your faith in your schools because there are kids that are hurting on a day-to-day basis and do not know Christ. Share your faith with them. people that are working in businesses, I'm sure your coworkers, not all of them, know Christ. Church, we have to be disciple makers. We have to see the importance of our faith and what it means to us, so we got to share it with other people. Maybe you haven't shared your faith this past week, but I tell you what, there's the rest of today and there's this week to possibly have a chance. And I dare you to pray that God will give you opportunity. I shared that with the youth group Wednesday as we had a bonfire. I dare you to pray for God to send you someone to share your faith. And God will blow your mind because He will give you someone. Church, I dare you today when you go home or whenever, I dare you to pray that God will send you someone to share your faith. And God, I believe God will do it. It's just a matter of whether or not you're going to be obedient to who He is and whether or not you love Him enough. Because sometimes this is scary. Do I know God? Do I know the gospel? Do I know Scripture? Do I know all these things? But again, it goes back to having the hope that the Holy Spirit is working inside you and He's going to give me the words to say to this person. All you got to do is be obedient. Church, please, I beg you, pray for God to send you someone this week to share your faith. All you got to do is turn the TV on and see there's so much hate in this world today and there's so little love. And yet, I see love right here in this very room because some people in this room can testify of how God made y'all into new people. Y'all have a testimony, a story to share with other people. It's just a matter of whether or not y'all want to share. So again, just do a recap before you move on to that next passage, that last passage. Two questions so far, just do a recap. One, what kind of fish are you? What kind of fish are you? Are you righteous or are you wicked? Where you stand before God, examine your life. And the second one is, are you being a disciple of Christ who surrenders their life to Him, follows Him, and wants to share Jesus and disciple other people? Verse 53, it says, when Jesus had finished all these parables, He moved on from there. Coming to His hometown, He began teaching the people in their synagogue. And they were amazed. Where did this man get his wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So yes, Jesus did have siblings, just earthly siblings. Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to him, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. That's a big statement, that last one. He did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So let me ask you this. I'm not a Duke fan by no means, and I'm very glad they lost. So, sorry Duke fans. I gotta throw that in there. If anything, I gotta lift my pastor up because he is a UNC alumni. So he did go to UNC, so I gotta admit, you know, build him up a little bit. But I will admit, if anything about Duke, they got some crazy fans, right? They even have a nickname. Anybody tell me that nickname? Yeah, the Cameron Crazies, right? These guys are wild, crazy. I mean, they do some insane stuff to hype up those Duke players when they lose. So, sorry. So, but what happens? Let's picture this for a moment. Let's just say those Duke fans, the Duke players walk in on their home court, right? They walk in their home court. Let's just say they're playing UNC. Those Cameron Crazies, the fans are there to hype them up so that at least they can try to beat UNC. So, what happens during the middle of the game if Duke wasn't playing so good? The Cameron Crazies started booing the home team. Wouldn't that be wild? I would assume that if I was a player and I started getting booed on my home court, I would be mad, I would be upset, I would be confused. I don't know if you've ever been watching a sports team, but if a team ever got booed on their home court, that means something bad is happening. That means something bad. But let me say, when you start booing the best person that ever walked this planet, there's issues there. Jesus shows up in his hometown. He starts preaching in the synagogue. They were amazed. But then they started thinking, like, isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't he the guy that we saw grow up? They thought they knew who Jesus was. They didn't realize who he came to be at that time. They didn't realize that the Messiah, the Son of God, was standing right there before them. And yet, they already had judgmental thoughts. Church, do we ever do that? Do we ever have judgmental thoughts because we think we know someone? We got to check our hearts. Because at one time, if Nathan Black would go to Aberdeen First Baptist, the church I grew up, and let's just say I had the opportunity to preach there, Some people might look at me as, oh, this is the boy that played baseball so much that he skipped out on church. That out of all the Sundays that he had a possibility, there was just a few that he had on his hand that he was able to make it because he worshiped baseball. Nathan was also the guy that picked up a skateboard and would skateboard in the church parking lot and possibly beat up some church property, not meaning to. But he wore all black and he listened to metal and screamo music. Why in the world would Nathan Black be in the pulpit? He don't need to be there. Church, let me remind you, Jesus Christ is the only one that can give you new life. People are going to be judgmental. Let me just tell you that. People are going to be judgmental. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. They're going to have thoughts. But my thought for y'all today is don't let those thoughts hinder your relationship with Christ. Those judgmental thoughts right here that these people had hindered Jesus doing miracles and working in his hometown. They did not get to see Jesus work and minister to them because of their judgmental thoughts. But I want you to say, don't let those thoughts of other people consume you so much that it hinders you from a relationship with Christ. Because anywhere in today's society, people are going to be judgmental. And you can be consumed with what people think. And this is very hard because I'm an extrovert and I love what people think of me. And oftentimes that hinders and comes in place of where I am with God. But I want you to know today, God is the only one that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That his love is so great that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That he will show you grace and he will show you mercy. Not this person over here that is showing you judgmental thoughts. God is the only one that can transform your heart heading in the right direction, giving you a new life. Church, let me remind you of how great his love is today. That whatever people think of you, the one in heaven is the one that has the best thoughts about you. Let me remind you that he created you in your mother's womb. And he desires a personal relationship with you because he sent his son to die for you, to give you new life. These people missed out because they started booing Jesus Christ because they thought they knew him. First of all, don't be that person with the judgmental thoughts that think you know people. Because God will deal with those people too. And he will work on their life and they will get the consequences as well. On a day-to-day basis, I have to check my heart because there are people that I do not like and it's hard for me to love. And when I come in contact with those people, God has to do a work in my life. And oftentimes, he grabs me by the shirt collar, pulls me back a little bit, and reminds me, that he created them in their image just like he created me. Again, guys, I want to remind y'all today that God loves all species, all kinds of people, and that we are to do the same thing. And he is the one that gives us a new life, a new hope, and saves us. The three questions, and Lauren, if you want to. The three questions as she starts to play for us today. Again, what species, what kind of fish are you today? A righteous or wicked? And are you being a disciple? And the last thing I would say is, are we being judgmental and holding back Jesus? Are we getting caught up on what other people think of us that is affecting our relationship with Christ? Because it is hurtful when people are when judgmental. But guys, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. If anything, I want y'all to know that today. If y'all can't stand and heads and eyes bowed, this is our invitation today just to think about where you are with God. And as she plays, I want y'all to just be in prayer of where you are with God today. I'll be down front if y'all need anybody to talk to. Dear God, I just thank you today for your love, your mercy, your grace. God, I'm very thankful that we have a Savior that is willing to lay down his life for us, God. And I pray that if there's someone in here that doesn't know you, God, I pray that you will save them. Work on their heart. Help them see how great you are, God. And I pray for also the mission teams that are preparing their hearts to go to Boston and Calgary in a few months, God. And I just pray that you will train them and help them become disciple makers. God, I pray that we can focus on you, that we can seek after you, that we can glorify your name on a day-to-day basis wherever we go. Again, God, I'm so thankful to have a Savior that is willing to love me despite what people possibly could think of me. And to know that I'm created in your image just like the rest of the people in this room. God, I know you love them. I know you love me. And I'm so thankful for you. In your son's name I pray, amen.